Hadn't this been a good place to be today? Amen. I'm thankful for the preaching that we've heard, the singing that we've heard, the spirit that's been here.
Yes, sir.
And I thank God for this place, for these people that labor so that we could come and have a place of oasis. And I've never went away from here without help. God's done big things in this place every time I've ever been here. And I thank the Lord for that. We were reminded in the first preacher of the pains of our ministry. And certainly there's a lot of those along the way. I'm sorry, Benny and Joel have it wrong. There is some heartache on the way. Then the Brother Kiever came and we saw a display of the possibility. We can finish right. And what he's saying, I want more today than I've ever wanted before. I want to finish right. But somewhere along the way, between those pains and between that finish, between the hurt and between the end of the line, something's happening in our generation, and we're losing way too many. Amen. God help us today not to glory in the fall of anybody. Whether they cross their T's and dot their I's the same way we do, or whether they've got a little different style, God help us not to glory in anyone's fall. Breaks my heart. I hope I never get another call of somebody that's fallen, but it seems inevitable. Samuel chapter number 15. I want to introduce us to a character and give you just a few things about him. I got, as the old saying is, a long way to go and a short time to get there. And so I'll try to preach fast as I can, and you'll have to listen fast. If you got your place and you want to stretch your legs, you can. You can stand with us. I just want to read one verse for the sake of time. This is the first time in our Bible this name, as far as I'm aware, is mentioned. Now I want to say a few things about this character that we're introduced to in verse number 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. My Father, I do love you this morning. God, I'm in a place where flesh fails every time. My God, I need you to purge this earthen vessel. Lord, would you flow through it the blessed power of the Holy Ghost? God, thank you for this place, these people. Lord, their labors and their giving and their sacrifice so we can have a place we can come to. Thank you, Lord, for this good pastor and what a friend he's been to me and my family. Lord, I bless your name for letting our paths cross. Lord, there's so many men in this place that could do such a better job at preaching this morning. But Lord, I pray for the touch of God. Lord, if you'll touch us and you'll help us and you'll breathe on your word, we'll not go away disappointed, but we'll be pointed unto you, and you can help us this morning. Lord, we're leaning not to ourselves, depending not on ourselves, but we're looking unto you this morning. I bless you. Thank you, Lord, for mercy. Thank you for grace. God, let preaching come easy now for a little while, and we'll give you all of the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. We're introduced to this character in our Bible, this man Ahithophel. We know he's been around now for quite some time, but we're just now introduced to him by name. Ahithophel shows up on the pages of our Bible in a very dark day in Israel. Absalom has arisen against his own daddy. David is is king here in 2 Samuel 15. He's God's man. He's God's king. Samuel has anointed him with the horn of oil. He's ascended the throne. He's been through. But the man Absalom, his boy, God has allowed now to come on the scene. He's set out at the city gate. He's got the people's heart. He's wooed them. He was a handsome man, and he had a smooth tongue, and he's wooed the people of the city, and he's turned their hearts from his daddy, which was the king, to himself. And now he's gained some strength. Some of you, no doubt, have had those kind of people in your church and those kind of people in your ministry. And it seems now that it is a very dark, dark day in the land of Israel. Oh, but we're introduced to this man. Here's Absalom. He's risen, and he sends for Ahithophel, and he brings him to the throne room there, where Absalom's sitting on his daddy's throne, and he brings him there with the purpose of overthrowing King David. And Absalom being king, amen. I want to say a few things by way of introduction about this man Ahithophel, and I want to try to preach this morning on this thought: from dedication to demise. From dedication, there's a lot of folks start out right. They get the right start. They got the right Bible. They got the right spirit, but something happens along the way, and they just don't finish right. I want to say something about Ahithophel's testimony. This man, Ahithophel, I want to suggest this morning he was a saved man. Notice what our verse says in verse number 12 when we're introduced to him. He's sacrificing unto God. Look what the Bible said, that Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, amen. Hello. While he offered sacrifices, amen. And so this man sacrificing, amen. Can I say this morning, there's a lot of folk that are saved, a lot of folk that are sacrificing, and bad things come their way and something happens to them. Well, he's a sacrificing man. I want to say he's a speaking man. Turn the page, if you will, chapter 16 and verse number 23. The Bible said, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. He's a spiritual man. Amen. I believe he was a saved man. Well, not only is he a saved man, he's a serving man. Psalm chapter number 41. We're going to find here. David writes the psalm. He said, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted. Notice what the Bible should have noticed this. This which did eat of my bread. I want you to notice this. This man is a counselor of David. It's my opinion now that David is the most spiritual man in our Bible. I don't find God saying about any other man that he is a man after God's heart. But David was. Sure, he had sin. Sure, he messed up. But he is real quick to repent. He is real quick to follow God. Amen. And this man's his counselor. This is not some fly-by-night outfit. Ahithophel's a wise man. He's a man that the king of Israel is taking counsel from. They've had fellowship together. Go to Psalm, if you will, again. Chapter number 55. And we'll see something else here. Psalms chapter number 55 and verse number 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal. Notice what David says, my God and mine acquaintance. Listen to this verse. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Amen. Ahithophel's a saved man. I believe he's a serving man. Amen. He's a counselor to David. He's a companion to David. He's a man that seems like on the surface has got all his ducks in a row, if you will. But there's something wrong in the picture. Amen. I want you to see the testimony of Ahithophel, but you got to see this. I want you to see the tragedy of Ahithophel. Turn left in your Bible, if you will. You don't mind working your Bible a little, do you? Chapter number 11 of the book of 2 Samuel and verse number 3. You got to get this. Put one finger in one ear so it don't go in and out. Amen. You got to get this. This is fundamental to the message. Notice what the Bible said. David sent. Oh, what a dark day. David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? Do you see that? The wife of Uriah the Hittite. So who is Bathsheba's daddy? It's Eliam. Now go with me, if you will. 2 Samuel 23 for just a second. This is the last will and testament of David. This is a listing of David's mighty men. Look with me, if you will. 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 34. Eliphelet, the son of Heshbai, the son of the Maacathite. Notice this. Eliam, who was he? That's Bathsheba's daddy. The son of who? What's your Bible say? The son of Ahithophel. And so now David has committed the sin with Bathsheba, and that's the granddaughter of his counselor. That's the granddaughter of his friend. Amen. He has, in essence, I guess we'd say, raped her. She submitted because he is the king. He's killed his grandson-in-law. Oh, and there was a tragedy that took place in this saved man's life. I would imagine I'm preaching to somebody this morning who's saved, spirit-filled, loves God, loves the church, doing everything they can to serve and be spiritual. But somewhere in your life, a tragedy has hit, and it's done something inside of you. Amen. There's the testimony. There's the tragedy. I want you to notice this. I want you to see the trouble. He's a bitter man. How do you know he's bitter, preacher? Well, let's look at the verse. Can I remind you that Ahithophel is a cabinet member, if you will, of David's? He has no business being in Gilo. And I can suggest, I think, from the verses, he's not at home. We'll see that in a little bit. But he's back at his city. He's not supposed to be there. He's supposed to be at the palace. He is a guide. He's an advisor. When things go bad, he has to be available at a moment's notice, and he's not in his place. He's somewhere. We'll see it in just a minute. I don't think he was at his house. He's somewhere by himself. You better watch out for that crowd that's always wanting to be alone. I can understand being by yourself with God, but that crowd's always wanting to go somewhere and find themselves and always wanting to be secluded. You hear me this morning? There's something wrong with that. It wasn't man that said it. It was God that said it's not good for a man to be alone. Amen. So he's alone. He's alone. He's aggressive. He jumps at the opportunity to do something to get David back. Amen. He's alone. He's aggressive. He's angry. For sake of time, I got to move. But I want you to see this. He's an angry man. He's got vengeance in his eyes. He's wanting to get back add to David. Amen. God, help us to get the vengeance out of our eyes and get victory back where vengeance is. And see this morning, they didn't do it to us. They did it unto God. David did not sin against Ahithophel. David sinned against God. But Ahithophel's caught up in the crossfire and it damages him and he becomes bitter. It's a good thing we ain't got chandeliers, because you probably ain't gonna swing from them this morning. But I want to help us. I want to say three things on this thought from dedication to demise. I want to see, number one, the eruption of Ahithophel's bitterness. He's in Gilo minding his own business. He's not bothering a soul until somebody who has the same opinion of his offender rises up and calls for him. Amen. Has anybody ever heard Misery Loves Company? Somebody now has the same opinion that Absalom had, that Ahithophel had of David. They're opinion was he needs to die. He needs to be out of the way. Can I say this morning, for every Ahithophel, there is an Absalom. For every bitter person, there is somebody in this world that can cause that bitterness to erupt and bring forth not just a root, but bring out some fruit. Amen. Let's just take our halos off and put them in our pockets. It's in every one of us. If you've never fought it, one of two things. You either ain't been doing this long, or you're a whole lot more spiritual man than anybody else I know. Amen. We might as well just quit looking down our nose and saying, you get them, preacher, and start saying, God, help me. Amen. It's in. Preacher, can I say, if we're not careful, if we don't keep it buried, if we don't get victory from God over it, it will control us and we'll never stand as an 83-year-old preacher with glory in our soul and sing, I want to down the battlefield. We gotta have God to help us. Amen. The eruption. Number two, I want you to see the extent. Now, I need some Bible students to talk back to me. Who was king after David? You gotta get this. Who's king after David? Solomon. Who's Solomon's mama? Bathsheba. Amen. Now, Ahithophel wants to kill David. What happens to a king's family when a king is killed? What happens to the rest of the family? They're killed. Why? So there's no chance that they could ever ascend the throne. There's no chance that that new king could ever be threatened and the old king's lineage lay claim to the throne. And so when a king is killed, all of his male descendants are obliterated. Can I remind you, Ahithophel, his great-grandson, became king after David. But he had so much vengeance in his eyes. He had so much hatred in his heart. He couldn't see the little ones he was hurting. Somebody holler amen. He couldn't see far enough down the road to know. Are y'all listening this morning? It was killing his family. Amen. Can I tell you this morning, that's exactly what bitterness will do in the hearts of our men. And in the hearts of our adults, in the hearts of our leaders, it will kill not just us, but the next generation as well. Extend his willing to kill his own family to get revenge. I knew coming in, this wasn't going to be my normal kind of preaching, my normal kind of message, but God won't even talk to me about nothing but this morning. Brother McBride will come clean up the mess and we'll shout in a minute, but God help us. I don't know about you. I enjoy shouting in the moment, but I need something I can take home with me. I need something in those dark nights when them hounds crawl up out of hell and they try to eat me and devour me and try to make me quit. I need something that'll help me then too. Amen. See the eruption of his bitterness. Number two, I see the extent of his bitterness. It'll kill your family. Well, I'm minding my own business. It ain't hurting nobody but me. Hang on a minute. Jesus came at the lineage of whom? David. If Ahithophel had got his way, it would not have just affected his family. Is anybody here in the family of Jesus? I know God's big enough. He'd have got his son here. If David had never even been born, God could have got his boy here. But look how it would have affected every. The eruption, the extent. Notice this. I'm just about done. I want you to see. Go to chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men. I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I'll come upon him while he's weary and weak-handed. We'll make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite, kill, murder the king only. He gives his counsel to Absalom. Thank God there was another counselor. Somebody say amen. And then when Ahithophel found out his counsel was not heeded, look at verse 23. I'm traveling this land and I'm not hearing this preached anywhere. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house. There's our evidence that he wasn't even at home. To his city. And put his household in order. Has anybody got your Bible open? And hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Seems almost as a cliche, but it's truth. Bitterness will kill you. Not just your spirit. Bitterness will kill your flesh. He killed himself. You realize there's been more members of the United States military that's died at their own hand since this Middle Eastern conflict began than what's died on the battlefield. You realize good churches with good people and good youth groups lose teenagers to suicide. Good men who've had the touch of God on them get overcome for different reasons, but many for bitterness. I believe I'd be amiss if I got us to this point that didn't tell us how to get help. I want us to be real honest. Everybody looking this way. Real honest. Preacher, I fought bitterness before. That's probably everybody who's capable of understanding and having feelings. And if you are able of understanding and having feelings and your hand wasn't up, maybe you need to come repent of lying. Or we all need to come sit under you and let you teach us how to get the victory. Hello? Now, every hand in the house nearly was up. Here's my question. We've all fought it. How many of us have confessed it to God as sin? It's not near as many hands. If we're going to get the victory, we'll never get it fully out of us because we're in this flesh. With the tension for it, ever going to get the victory. Number one, you got to find it. This kind of preaching to help you, I got to hurt you. You probably got that image in your mind, that person. It might have been a preacher. It might have been a parent. Since God's given me this thought and I've started preaching it across this country, you'd be amazed at the things people have come and told me. I've had preachers that's been pastoring for years come to me and say, "Preacher, I've never told a soul this, but as a child I was molested." I've had adults come to me and give me story after story. I've had grandparents come to me and say, "I'm in Ahithophel's shoes. My grandchildren have been mistreated." God help us to get honest and get some help from God this morning. You better find it. It's there. You better find it. Number two, you better forgive them. There is a them involved. That might be somebody at the church. Might be somebody in your past. Might be somebody in your home. It might be a spouse. It might be a child, might even be God. But you better forgive them. Brother McBride's done such a tremendous job this week preaching on Calvary. Amen. We see the Lamb of God, the Son, becomes a sacrifice at Calvary. Yeah. He's stretched out on that cross. Oh, yeah, every muscle in his body is required just to get a breath. And all of creation listens at what the Son of God will have to say. And he stretches himself, pulls against the nails in his hands, takes a breath gurgling through the blood and through the mucus in his lungs. What is he going to say? He'll say something profound. And he does. He says, "Father, forgive them." Now, here's my question. When he said, "Forgive them," do you remember reading about nails falling out? You remember reading about his entrails going back in, his back growing back up, crown of thorns coming off his head? The humiliation going away. Forgiveness ain't about changing them in our lives. Jesus' forgiveness was about changing them. But guess what? We ain't God. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness oftentimes is not deserved. Do you think those that are taking the life so they thought of our Savior deserved his forgiveness? I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't get what I'm deserving. Amen. Forgiveness is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a conscious decision. With the nails in his hand, with the crown of thorns on his head, with the blood pouring out of his body, with the Father's back turned, he says, "Father, forgive them."
Right. Yeah. Amen.
You'll never be more like Christ than when you're forgiving. You got to find it, forgive it, forget it. Say, preacher, we're not built like God. We can't forget. Well, you may not be able to completely blot it from your memory. I've had some real goofy guys come to me. Y'all pardon me. And say, if you've never forgot it, you've never forgave it. You can't forget. You don't have the ability of God to choose not to remember. As a matter of fact, you're remembering right now. But I heard Peter say, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. Didn't say he cares. If your Bible said he cares for you, you ought to throw it away and get you a Bible. He careth. That's continual. On and on. Matthew 11 comes to mind. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest to your soul, for my yoke is easy. I didn't say it. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it loud. My yoke is easy. Somebody said, this Christian life's so hard. Maybe you're yoked up to the wrong thing. Jesus said his yoke's easy and his burden's light. If we're not in the yoke with him, it's no wonder bitterness is killing us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm done. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look with me, if you will. Verse number 20. Six. When I found this first phrase, I was excited. Be ye angry. I said, Lord, I don't have a bit of problem with that. But he didn't stop there. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Some of us don't have problems letting the sun go down. We got problems letting the calendar turn on our wrath. But at the end of that verse is not a period. It's not the end of the statement. Neither give place to the devil. Has the devil got real estate in your life? It may be from unforgiveness. It may be from that anger that's harbored. We've all admitted that we've fought it. Yep. I see on some countenances right now, some of you are battling it today. Yep. Don't let it kill you. No. We're standing together, heads bowed, eyes are closed. My Father, Lord, if I've ever preached in the Holy Ghost, I believe I've tried this morning. Yes. Oh, Lord God, my God. Would you touch the hearts of your people? Lord, I'm tired of hearing about giants falling. I'm tired of hearing about the generals of the faith turning their back on the Bible. Turning their back on the church. Turning their back on you. Falling in sin. Falling off the scene. God, do a work in this place this morning. Give this under shepherd good wisdom now, Lord. I pray, dear God, you'll let a spirit of repentance settle in. Grant it, Lord. Give us victory, I do beg. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.